The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Friday, March the 7th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled 40 Years Later. And the time is 8:09 a.m. here in London, making it 3:09 a.m. on the east coast of America, and 9 minutes past midnight on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so now let's move on to what I've downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day in case it gives you any ideas. I went over to the Victor Hugo BitChute channel. So that's bitchute.com. Just look up the Victor Hugo channel. And the most recent two shows are both with The Last Dutchman, who I think has got the greatest name in the alternative media, The Last Dutchman. So I'm sure one is actually cut out of the other, because one's about 8 minutes and the other one is about 54 minutes 36 seconds exactly, actually. And the other one, 8 minutes 58. And but I'm not sure, so I'll listen to the longer one first, and if the short one repeats it, won't bother with that. Okay, what else have we got? Siege the Day from ftjmedia.com. Just scroll down to the Dave Gahari row and get the most recent show there. Then we have from the Dustin Nemos channel on brighton.com, how can any still support Trojan Trump? I think that's about 15-16 minutes. Yeah, 16 minutes. And finally, from paulenglishlive.com, Crusades, Culture and Contemporary Challenges. That's a three-hour show. All of these from yesterday, apart from the Dustin Nemos one, which I think was from the day before. Okay, now on the now-defunct Limey's show, I used to do a section called Strange Bedfellows, which ended long before the show did. But it was a bit of fun, and I've got some here that I'm going to share with you, which I hope will be of entertaining value. Basically, when I headed out to my mum's on Monday, I stopped off in a place called Banstead because I wanted to pick up a pizza. Pizza Hut have got this offer on, and it's £10 for any size pizza, so of course you get a large with anything on it. And I thought, right, I'm staying there 2 days, coming back on the Wednesday. I don't want to have to come out again on the Tuesday to get food, so a large pizza should last me 2 days. I'll have half on the Monday, heat the other half up in the oven, which was very nice actually, so it all worked out well. While I was there, they've got some charity shops, and I went in an Oxfam shop, which I think it's people who work for Oxfam have a particular affiliation with Haiti, shall we say. We'll just leave that there. But I was flicking through the DVDs and I found these Strange Bedfellows. I'll go through them one by one because I ended up watching them all. They were all 99p each, so that was good value. And I watched them yesterday. Well, I say I watched them all. The first one, Time Bandits, I've got here from 1981, which is a Terry Gilliam film starring John Cleese, Sean Connery. It's it, it's like a sort of, well, Time Bandits. It's a load of dwarfs travelling through time. And so you see a scene from Robin Hood and a scene from the French Revolution. And I lost interest and forwarded through. The most interesting part in it is you get to see Michael Palin of the Monty Python Parrot sketch acting opposite Shelley Duvall, who was the terrorised wife in The Shining. And I never imagined those two ever acting together. So there's a couple of strange bedfellows within strange bedfellows. But for me, watched it for a bit, then fast forwarded through just to see what different actors were there. And the main reason I picked it up, I took it off the shelf a couple of times and put it back, and I thought, I've never seen this. And I'm looking at DVDs in charity shops every week, because Amanda likes going there. And I was on my own, so obviously I do too. Didn't have to pop in. And I thought, I'll take it anyway. And then I looked it up online, and I think it's not available new, and Amazon's selling it for about £25. So it was a worthwhile investment, I guess. The next one I got was Falling Down, the Michael Douglas film from 1992, which I'd had before. For some reason I got rid of it, and I watched that after Time Bandits yesterday, and I saw it in its entirety, and it is such an entertaining film. And it's the sort of film that you know, they did it in such a way that it could have been interpreted as a sort of right-wing film, but there are certain scenes in it that kind of dispel that myth, which obviously people on the left don't like, and they still say it's you know, it's racist and all these different things as well. But very entertaining, hour and 48 minutes, and you never felt like you needed to watch the clock. It was just different scenes structured. You move from one to another, different things that this guy gets involved in, who basically Michael Douglas is your, you know, loyal American, works for defense contractor to protect America from communists, and he just loses his temper one day with all the everyday mundane things that go on, like a burger in a picture in a fast food restaurant looking lovely and nothing like what you get in the box when you pay for it, being held up in useless traffic jams, being ripped off in independent, I don't know what you call them, we call them like news agents here in the UK, stores that sell, you know, crisps, drinks, stuff like that, always a lot more expensive than some of the other chain stores if you buy in bulk, things like that. Yeah, all sorts of events that he gets involved in. Really highly recommended. I'm even tempted to get it on Blu-ray, but I was thinking to myself, when will I want to watch it again? I probably last saw it about 30 years ago. And seeing it again, I don't know if I want to watch it again after this for another few years. So put that one down. And then lastly, Easy Rider from 1969. And when I was a student, I had the Easy Rider, the two motorcycles going along, black and white poster on my wall, you know, these sorts of things, before I'd even seen the film, to be quite honest. It was quite trendy to put up there on your campus wall or what have you. And that was in there, so I thought, I've seen that years ago, I'll pick that up again. And as a film, it's, well, it says in the back, originally released in 1969, Easy Rider is widely regarded as the original road movie, and based on the cult following it developed, it was soon copied by other Hollywood studios. Now, I find it a little bit, it's quite charming in its way when they're riding around and you see an American countryside and that in 1969. But the main part of the film for me, well, firstly, I didn't realise this when I watched it first at the time, but I think it's designed to look like a couple of sort of teenagers, you know, 18, 19, they get some bikes and they ride across America. But being made in 1969, that would have made Dennis Hopper 33 years old, and Peter Fonda, the other lead actor, 29 years old. Now, the best part of the film is when Jack Nicholson pops up as a lawyer, and he would have been 32 years old in the film. But as he played a lawyer and someone who looked a bit older, he kind of teamed up with these guys for a little bit. I found it was a clock watcher when the Jack Nicholson scenes have finished. The first 10 minutes is fairly interesting. Basically, what they do is they buy some drugs from somewhere. It's all very charming. And in Mexico, and then they sell them to Phil Spector, although he's not billed as Phil Spector, but that's the actor. And the reason they hired him, because probably the best part of the DVD is it has a documentary on it called 67 Minutes Shaking the Cage featurette included. And this was filmed in 1999, 30 years after the film was made. And you had Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda. Unfortunately, you didn't have Jack Nicholson in it. But it was quite interesting. It had other people popping up that were quite tiresome and what have you. And then, you know, Hopper makes these references to, oh, yeah, we had Jack Nicholson as a ACLU lawyer. And he makes comments in there that are basically, you sort of look at these guys and you think, you know, this is who we've got to thank for the wokery that we're living through now. It's these people who sowed the seeds back then with their, you know, they thought they were being, you know, cute and smart and stuff like that. But nevertheless, it was an interesting watch, more the documentary than the film. And I don't imagine I'll be going back to watch this film again, but I'm going to keep hold of it because you never know. And the Jack Nicholson bit, what was interesting as well, this was Jack Nicholson, not his first role. He'd done lots of roles in things like Jack Roger Corman films, stuff like that. And he'd been writing, he wrote screenplays, he directed, all these different things. And when they contacted him to do the role, which, as I say, was the first really notable role he had, he actually got nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for it. Didn't win it. But basically, when they contacted him to do this, he didn't want to do it because he didn't want to act anymore. So think of this, 1969, all the work he did since then, to go on to be one of the most nominated actors in Oscars history. What he wanted to do was run a Hollywood studio. That was apparently what he wanted to do. So that was quite interesting to yeah, and in his Wikipedia page, it says, Nicholson is one of only three male actors to win three Academy Awards and one of only two actors to be nominated for an Academy Award for acting in films in every decade from the 1960s to the 2000s alongside Michael Caine. His 12 Academy Award nominations make him the most nominated male actor in the Academy's history, and that from someone who was planning not to act again from the late 1960s. Okay, so I hope that that was of interest to you. Let's go on and see how the news has developed since yesterday's show. Daily Mail headline, as are all of these articles, two men charged with murder 40 years after attack near London Tube Station. Now, that is where we get our title 40 years later from. You imagine what you were doing 40 years ago. 1985, that was my best Christmas ever, because that was the Christmas I got my hi-fi. And I'm still looking at separates of those that I still have to this day right now. They're in front of me. And I wasn't a Christian then. I am a Christian now. I can't change the past. That was the most exciting Christmas for me. When you're a kid, Christmas is about getting presents, whatever people say. And you're going to remember the best presents that you ever got. Now, as I'm older, I prefer to give presents than to receive presents, really. Because I don't really need anything apart from stuff you need day-to-day living, you know. There's nothing that comes, oh, I've got to get that, especially with the way the media is now, as I say. I avoid anything after 2013, 2014, generally, that comes out. So they've all sorted that for me. And all the music that I used to listen to that's still going, people that are still putting out stuff, they're not as good as they used to be. And I don't even get the chance to listen to the stuff that I liked of theirs that got me interested in the first place. So why would I bother buying some new album that they just bring out? But let's go back to this article. I just want you to put it into perspective. So you've got two people here that they've basically been charged and they're being held in custody. So they're not messing about here. They're appearing in court, I think, in a couple of days. But one of them was called Michael Stewart. He was 55, which would have made him 15 at the time. The other one is Anthony Stewart, so it sounds like they could be brothers. He's 59 and that would have made him 19 at the time. He'd been remanded into custody ahead of an appearance at Willesden Magistrates Court on Thursday, which is a which was yesterday. So let's see if there's any update on that from the court. So I'll just put them into Google. No, it still just comes up with the one day ago, so they're not... And then there's BBC 2 days ago, so there's no update on that from their court appearance in the media yet. So let's move on to... I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Imagine, you thought you'd have got away with it by now, 40 years ago. And, I mean, if these people are guilty, I think it's great that they finally got them. Because one of the victim's relatives actually spoke in the article. What happened was a guy called Mr. Littler came through East Finchley Tube Station and made his way home on foot through an alleyway. Sadly, within a few minutes of him leaving the station, a 999 call was made to emergency services requesting an ambulance and police. Upon arrival, the police found Mr. Littler's lifeless body with catastrophic injuries to his head. The matter was reviewed in 1993, 2013, and again in 2023, which is obviously when they found these people or got this investigation going. Mr. Littler's cousin, Tricia McClure, previously said, "Anthony was a lovely, kind and gentle man who wouldn't have hurt anyone. It is heartbreaking to our family that this happened to him. After all this time, we hope this new investigation puts those responsible behind bars. It won't bring Anthony back, but it will give us some closure." So there you go. Let's move on to... Moment French Navy officers refused to rescue 60 migrants from dinghy filling with water instead demanding UK Border Force step in, even though they were spotted just 1.3 miles from French coast. Well, you know, they're on their way from France to the UK anyway. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't make it easy for them, but if this crossing don't work out, then they're going to just jump on another boat to get here, aren't they? And that takes us to our next article. Labour faces growing pressure to tackle small boats crisis as more than 1,100 migrants reach Britain in just 4 days. Well, again, how about the people that they let in legally? That we talked about before, hundreds of thousands, nearer to a million, in fact, in like a year. That they don't want to talk about, just talk about these small boats. And again, if these people are entering your country without permission, wouldn't that be regarded as invaders? But I can't elaborate on that point because my democratic right to freedom of speech prevents me from doing so. Okay, so let's move on to the next article. Asylum seeker raped girl 15 in town centre after spotting her alone, court hears. Now, this happened in Scotland. And it was a 29-year-old asylum seeker who made sexual remarks to the 15-year-old and led her to the rear of a pub where he attacked and raped her. And all these stories I read about these asylum seekers, granted, you know, they can stay in the UK, like this one who heard voices and felt that he was possessed. He could be in danger in Nigeria, so we're going to keep him here. And I'm like, well, what about the people that could be in danger here from him? Why do we worry about this guy? Surely you should worry about the population of the country more than the person. You know, if this person's a criminal or what have you, just kick them back and whatever happens to them happens. You've done your job, which is to protect the people of this country, especially if it's judges, because judges are always very quick to send people to jail. Oh, you're a danger to the public because you posted something online, when they know damn well these people aren't. But they're just, you know, doing what they're told, however they're told it, and under whatever duress they're told it. But when it comes to actually protecting the public, they're not the least bit interested. It almost sounds like they want to put the public in danger, which has been my contention from the off, that governments need crime on the streets because they need you to be occupied with that rather than the real crimes that are going on, which is what they're up to. Okay, so let's move on to the next article. Aggressive pornography acts as a gateway to child sexual content, charity warns. Well, essentially, they're saying that, you start off with, you're always looking for something more extreme, which is true in a lot of things. So a lot of people deny it. People say that pot smoking will lead to harder drugs, and then some people say that's not true, but other people claim that that's how they started and got into all sorts of other horrible things. So it's going to be one of these, it's a bit like, does screen violence encourage violence in real life? I think in these three cases, drugs, you know, soft drugs leading to hard drugs, soft porn leading to harder porn, and screen violence leading to actual violence, I think you could find examples to prove the both prove and disprove each of those statements in each of those cases. But so it's not really worth pondering too much. Britain must prepare in case Trump pulls support for Trident amid fears that nuclear deterrent would not be maintained without US help. Now, this results in something that, whilst they say the UK has their own nuclear warheads, they fit them to American-made and maintained Trident ballistic missiles carried in the Royal Navy's Vanguard-class submarines. You know, the ones that they had all these people arrested for being high on drugs on. Those safe Navy officers, or whatever they were in the Navy, that were kicked out for being found to be high on drugs, failing drug tests, what have you. Okay. Now, years ago I was told that whilst the UK has nuclear weapons, it's actually their American weapons on UK soil. So the UK could never suddenly say, right, we're going to fire these weapons. It was always going to be America. And I always felt, well, that's not really fair. If we're going to have nuclear weapons, we need to have our own. You know, they need to be ours, and we can deploy them at will, not with the at the whim of the United States. But when I looked that up yesterday, a government article, gov.uk, was most adamant that the Prime Minister has the ability to press a button and send nuclear weapons as where they see fit. And that took me back to a question, I forget if it was, I think it was put to him by someone in the media, because Jeremy Corbyn is very anti-nuclear weapons, anti-war, all this sort of stuff, and he was asked if he could push the button, and he really sort of squirmed to try and give an answer, and I think he really tried to get very evasive, because basically he wouldn't. But that was the purpose of the question, to say, well, you know, what good a leader are you if we come under attack, type of thing. So I don't know, do we or don't we have control of our nuclear weapons? It's a strange one that I'm not satisfied with the government answer I got. And when I see an article such as this, I would say that there's a little bit more to it as well. That I couldn't imagine us doing something like that without the Americans giving the go-ahead. Next one, British-supplied Storm Shadow missiles are useless in Ukraine now. President Trump has blocked US intelligence from being shared with allies. Well, basically, what's happened here is that you can't actually launch these missiles without the US intelligence, because basically it says the Ukraine relies on US satellite intelligence and other state-of-the-art equipment to assist them with precision. And without that, they can't use the weapons. So that's one good thing. There's a few more people alive, probably, because these things can't be used. Next, we have Shoreham Airshow pilot, who was at the controls during disaster that killed 11, is making another bid to fly. Now, this guy's 60. He's ex-RAF, that's Royal Air Force, airman, Andy Hill. And it's not the first time. Now, I remember this happening. It was 10 years ago in August 2015. It crashed in a fireball, and presumably he ejected out. He looks okay at the moment, so I doubt that he was burned. There's a picture of him here. And since then, he had his license revoked. He keeps trying to get it back. Caroline Schilt, 64, who lost her 23-year-old son Jacob in the disaster, said whether he is aware that his late challenges, that's the challenging the Civil Aviation Authority's ruling that he's not got a licence, whether he is aware that his late challenges cause the families the ultimate pain as he prolongs the legal process cannot be proved. However, it certainly feels like a personal vendetta. Hill has never accepted any form of responsibility for killing 11 men as a result of his diabolical flying. That is a statement in the article. He has never shown any remorse, and we don't believe he ever will. There you go. Okay, and the last one that I've got for you is Prince William suggests NHS staff should have an enforced career break to protect their mental health as he marks 5 years since COVID pandemic at Royal Berkshire Hospital. I can't imagine what he's referring to. Is he referring to all the stress that they were under in the empty hospitals when they were recording the TikTok videos, or the remorse they feel for giving all those vaccines that have turned out to cause so much harm to people? Not sure what he's referring to there, but again, this is the guy that kept championing mental health, which for me is just a way of weakening men. Unfortunately, there is such a thing. There are people, they do have mental illnesses, and it is very sad, and it needs to be taken seriously. But there tends to be an encouragement these days of people to, men can cry, this sort of... I remember my dad would say, rise above it all, and quite frankly, if you're depressed because, say you can't get a girlfriend, something like that, well, you're not going to go out and say, I'm really depressed, I can't get a girlfriend, and some girl's going to say, I'll be your girlfriend then. It's not going to happen, okay? So all these quick fixes that these people do, they just weaken you further. The best thing that you can do is say, right, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Why do I think I can't? Let me look at the reasons why. And then try and address those as best you can. Get yourself fitter. Get some nicer clothes. Anything that you can think of. Go to different places to meet people. All these different things. But what they want you to do is, oh, it's so sad you can't. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh, really, you should go and talk to somebody. Maybe you need to take Prozac or something like that. That's the route they want you to go down, in which you're never going to overcome the problem that has caused the mental health in the first place. Okay, that being said, let's move on to see what the main's happening in the mainstream media right now. APnews.com. Associated Press: China's foreign minister criticizes US tariffs and accuses the country of meeting good with evil. So, similar repeat of what happened between China and America last time. Little spats over these trade tariffs and stuff like that. So there you go. Let's move on to the most popular stories on the BBC right now. Scroll down, have a look here. Trump expands exemptions from Canada and Mexico tariffs. I understand that he was going to delay those for a while. The King reveals his playlist from Marley to Kylie. I presume that's Bob Marley and Kylie Minogue, if you want to find out what the King likes listening to. I think years ago I used to hear that he was a big fan of the Three Degrees. Or was it the Nolan Sisters? I have a feeling it was the Three Degrees. Plan to ban smartphones in schools, scrapped by MP. Yeah, I don't think they're going to want to get rid of these smartphones. They're there for a reason, folks. And they're there to educate your kids with what they want to turn them into rather than what you want to turn them into. Okay, and Daily Mail, see if there's anything interesting on that page. Trump reduces Trudeau to tears. Canadian PM cries after humiliating tariff battle and heated phone call with President as he makes final promise before leaving office. Well, is that going to be a promise to admit to who he really is? or rather whether he is or whether he isn't Fidel Castro's son. I think that people would like to know that. He may be, he may not be, but if he can tell us one way or another, that would be of a great interest to many people in the independent media. And just to give you an example of what I said about the Gene Hackman death, this is the gift that keeps on giving for the mainstream media. It happened, what, a couple of weeks ago now? And we've still got one of the top headlines. Gene Hackman's wife was a fitness nut who made him do yoga, eat curry, and feel New Mexico's spiritual vortex. So I've seen stuff in the independent media about this guy. Firstly, he was... This is from beforeitsnews.com. None of it's made it into our top tens. Otherwise, I would have elaborated upon it there. One of them was that he's about to expose Jeffrey Epstein. For some reason, he knew him, some 95-year-old going out there to expose Jeffrey Epstein. And that was why he was killed. And then I hear another one that he had some tunnel under his house. And, you know, he was a monster. People can't believe how... It's just amazing to me how some of these sites will string things together and people will fall for it. For example, this morning I clicked on the People's Voice site and the most recent article, DNC Insider, Seth Rich files destroyed to shield VIP Pizzagate arrests. Maybe they've got something, maybe they haven't, but I see too many people in the independent media taking something that happens and somehow piggybacking off that, some things that you tend to find in the independent media, linking them together with something from the mainstream in order to, in my opinion, gain clicks. But as I say, they may have something, they may not, but I remain very suspicious. Let's have a look at the independent media then. RT.com. EU fails to agree on Ukraine aid. Hungary has vetoed the bloc's joint statement that would have seen Kiev receive $30 billion in aid by the end of the year. Yeah, all this sort of stuff. It's just disgraceful. Right? They shouldn't be able to agree on aid for anybody until there's a referendum from the people of the country that have to provide that money. Okay, the whole thing's a great big racket. Governments can't be trusted. I'm not even going to get started with this because it's just so pathetic. It is just a criminal organisation that they've got going. And I don't remember the last time a politician ever represented my interests, certainly not in my lifetime. Okay, let's move on to rents.com. How can people not see Trump for who he is after honest research and watching this video? Is this the Dustin Nemos video? It is. Wow. The top story on rents.com is how can any still support Trojan Trump? So Jeff has found that as well. And so there's an endorsement for you. He's presumably watched it. I haven't yet. So I'm certainly going to be looking forward to listening to that later. And there's too many people still that I didn't think would fall for Trump that I used to trust in the independent media. I'm not saying I don't trust them anymore. I just feel surprised that they haven't cottoned on to what this guy's really all about. And they're still trying to say, well, you know, he's doing some good things and stuff. Well, yeah, I know that. But they're pushing it beyond that. And they really think that this guy is actually going to turn on the real people in control when the real agendas are playing out before us. But be interesting to see what this video has to say, if there's anything in there that I'm not aware of. Okay, let's move on to halturnerradioshow.com. There's Intel, Russia, Ukraine, Europe, hard lines drawn behind closed doors. That presumably relates to that meeting again. Minister urges Dutch citizens to prepare for war, have emergency kits. Russia rejects temporary ceasefire in Ukraine. Emergency summit on Ukraine begins in Europe. So it's all Ukraine war related and you know, other people being dragged into it as this Dutch minister urging people to prepare for war. Let's go over to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. And I want to thank Mark and Jeff Rents for their support of my show. So I want to thank them now. At the top, we have a video. Might be an audio. I think this guy just did audios. It's Federal Reserve Scam by Father Coughlin. Charles E. Coughlin. I think I used to listen to some of his stuff. I know Patrick Chenal, a friend of mine, was very keen on his material. Federal Reserve Scam comes in at an hour. That's another show that you can listen to. Certainly worth... I've listened to him in the past and found him to be very interesting. So there you go. Another thing there for you. Censored.news. See what's going on over at Censored.news. Mike Adams' news aggregate website. It says Trump begins CIA cuts, that's NYT, so New York Times, presumably, although it links you to an RT.com article. And Lavrov compares Macron to Hitler and Napoleon. Okay, and let's finish off with the Before It's News top 10. Wait for this to load up, see what's going on over here. Scroll down. Patiently wait for the subscribe pop-up to disrupt my reading of the top 10, which I'm going to start now. Number 10 went up 10 hours ago, 112 people viewing. Michael Jayco, Emergency Q Plus Trump Decode March 6th, Truth Bomb Shock the World 2025. Just sounds like the same old coming out Before It's News, doesn't it? Number 9 went up 7 hours ago, 128 people viewing. Gene Hackman's final message at 95. Before death will terrify you. And there's a little picture and they want to kill dot, dot, dot. Okay. Number 8. Well, up a day ago, 133 people viewing. Nino and Simon Parks, the secret quantum supercomputer technology behind Trump. Number 7 went up 2 hours ago, 145 people viewing. Kim Gogwon, full situation updates, Rothschilds and secret space program. Number 6 went up an hour ago, 152 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, Doge documents uncovered, CIA tried to kill Trump twice, 3 days of darkness. Number 5 went up 5 hours ago, 192 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump's secret orders have activated. Nasara? Question mark. This Nasara Gazar, it's something to do. There was a guy that used to email me years ago, but stopped, thankfully. He was saying that he bought all this Iraqi dinar, because apparently there was something going around then. It wasn't Nasara Gazar, it was something else. That they were planning to pump up the value of all these foreign currencies that weren't worth much. And he was literally writing to me saying that he was going to buy this for me and that for me, and he was going to buy an airport in America with his Iraqi dinar that was, he spent, I don't know, $100 on. It was going to be worth billions, you know what I mean? It was just ridiculous. And this Nazara Gazara, I think, is something similar. Okay, so number 4. Went up 8 hours ago, 210 people viewing. New X22 report. Trump, it's showtime. Game over. Deep state created pop-up NGOs to launder 2025. Number 3. Went up 8 hours ago, 218 people viewing. And we know Trump did it. The truth is in front of you. Democratic Party con exposed. Number 2. Went up 11 hours ago, 407 people viewing. Breaking. Dr. Robert Young jailed. Medical tyrants will do anything to silence truth. And number 1 went up 9 hours ago. 442 people viewing. New Stu Peters, Joe Rogan, Ian Carroll, Candace Owens, Theo Von, Andrew Tate. The JQ goes mainstream. Okay, and I'm out of here. So thank you very much for joining me. See if I can get the date right today. This Friday, March the 7th, 2025, where I'm talking to you, episode 203, entitled 40 Years Later. I'll be back with you all tomorrow, and until then, folks, thank you for listening, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.